Sure, thank you, Sue. We will now discuss Agenda Paper 2. This paper analyzes comments on the tentative agenda decision about the costs an entity includes as the estimated costs necessary to make the sale when determining the net realizable value of inventories. The committee received 21 comment letters by the comment letter deadline. Most respondents agree with the committee's analysis and conclusion that IAS 2 does not allow an entity to limit its estimate of the costs necessary to make the sale to only such costs that are incremental. But some other respondents either disagree with that conclusion or suggest not finalizing the tentative agenda decision for other reasons. Paragraphs 11 to 38 include our analysis of respondents' comments. Based on our analysis, we continue to agree with the committee's conclusion that the principles and requirements in IFRS standards provide an adequate basis for an entity to determine whether the estimated costs necessary to make the sale are limited to incremental costs when determining the net realizable value of inventories. Therefore, we recommend finalizing the agenda decision. I will now direct your attention to the question on page 15 and ask whether you agree with this recommendation.
Thank you very much. And before we do that, I'm really sorry, Carlos. I said I would introduce you in public and I completely overlooked it. So I apologize. Not the best introduction to my chairing of the committee. So pleased to introduce to everybody listening today a new observer to the committee on behalf of the Basel Committee, Carlos Rodrigo. So welcome to the committee, Carlos. With that, does anybody have any comments on Agenda Paper 2? Bob.
Thanks, Sue. Well, it probably will not be a surprise to the committee. I was not in favor of this tentative agenda decision before, and I continue to disagree with this agenda decision, so finalizing the agenda decision. We keep pointing to the objective in paragraph 28, of IS2, and I do not think that that is that clear, where it talks about the objective being that the cost of inventories are going need to be less than or equal to the amounts expected to be realized from their sale. I do think that when it focuses on their sale, it is an incremental notion. I think the agenda paper is too dismissive of the argument that stakeholders have made that pointing to the basis for conclusion in IS 36. We're not using the basis for conclusion in IS 36 through an IS 8 analysis lens. We're actually using it because IS 36 basis for conclusion specifically refers to IS 2 and said that the committee thought that the notion in IS 36 of net selling price at that time was similar to the notion with a net realizable value in IS 2, and that 36 was an incremental notion. So by logic, if those two are similar, then what the committee was pointing to is that they thought that IS 2 and net realizable value, when looking at the cost to subtract from the consideration we received, was an incremental notion. So for those reasons, I continue to disagree with the finalizing the agenda decision and think that a better route would be, if we want to go down this path, to do standard setting, an interpretation from the committee. The other reason I think that interpretation would be a much better route is that our agenda decision tells people what the committee thinks that they cannot do, but what's going to leave open and going to create diversity of people are going to be wondering what are we supposed to do? And so I think this committee doing an interpretation of what, if we don't believe it's an incremental notion, of what they should do is much better standard setting than issuing this agenda decision.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Carsten.
Yeah, thanks. So I agree with the staff analysis and conclusions and continue to be supportive for finalizing the agenda decision. Just a couple of thoughts I'd like to share, and maybe that does help in the discussions. First of all, I note that many respondents seem to think that because of the draft wording in the tentative agenda decision, because it says that IS2 does not allow an entity to limit the cost to be included in those that are incremental, that this would suggest, you know, that entities have to use some sort of full cost approach. I was a little surprised that a substantial portion of folks seem to read the agenda decision that way, you know, even after the wording changes that we implemented as a result of the discussions at the February IC meeting, as I don't think that the wording in the proposed agenda decision suggests, a full cost approach, that a full cost approach is required. Also, my sense is that some are reading the tentative agenda decision to say that, you know, that the cost to be included must definitely in all cases be more than the incremental cost. You know, I can see why some may read it that way based on initial read, but personally, I don't think that the proposed wording says that. It just says that including only incremental costs could fail to achieve the objective in IS2, in paragraph 28 of IS2. And I think we say quite clearly that an entity uses a judgment to determine which costs are necessary to make the sale, considering its specific facts and circumstances. I also note that the agenda decision currently states that an entity must include more than just the incremental cost, but doesn't specify the term incremental and doesn't say whether that should be used in a more narrow sense, you know, for example, as defined in IFRS 15, or in a broader sense. So I think we are saying an entity uses its judgment in determining which costs are considered incremental. We also say including just incremental costs could fail the objective in paragraph 28 of IS2, but we don't say which specific costs need to be included in those that are necessary to make the sale. So again, I think we are saying it might be more than just incremental, but an entity uses its judgment in determining the specific cost to be included in the cost necessary to make the sale. Now, the agenda decision goes on to say that at least the following costs should be included. So first, costs that are incremental to a particular sale. So I think an example of that might be a sales commission, plus other costs that an entity must incur to sell its inventories. And I think people struggle a bit to understand what these other costs are that an entity must incur to sell its inventories, but that are not incremental to a particular sale. So I think an example might be the cost of a special promotion campaign to sell specific inventories. That sounds to me like an example of cost that the entity has decided it must incur to sell its inventories, because those costs are directly related to the sale of that inventory and only incurred as a result of the decision to actively promote the sale. But then would the entity, for example, also have to allocate overheads in determining the cost necessary to make the sale? I think the agenda decision does not say that. And it's essentially just saying that an entity uses its judgment in determining which specific costs to include, right? So for example, you know, if for specific costs or for specific inventories, an entity, let's say, runs a special promotion campaign, I think these costs should probably be included in the cost necessary to make the sale. But if an entity decides, say, for other inventories not to run any special promotion campaign and decides that there are no other costs that are incurred because of the sale of those specific inventories, you know, I think the agenda decision is not specific on which costs should be included exactly. And perhaps an entity might conclude that there are no additional costs that an entity must incur to sell these inventories. So again, I think we are just saying that including only incremental costs could fail the objective in paragraph 28 of IS2. But I don't think we are saying that in all circumstances, the costs necessary to make the sale are more than the incremental cost. Now, I note that the proposed words in the agenda decision already say that including only incremental costs could fail to achieve the objective in paragraph 28 of IS2. It doesn't say that including only incremental costs necessarily would fail that objective in all scenarios, but it seems, you know, that some folks are reading it this way. So I do wonder whether we could add clarity and tweak the words a bit to avoid any potential impression that an entity must always, that is in all scenarios, include more than just the incremental cost. So overall, I do not feel too strongly on this one, because I think the current words in the proposed agenda decision are appropriate and already give entities quite a bit of flexibility. It clearly states that an entity uses its judgment to determine which costs to include exactly in determining the cost necessary to make the sale, considering its specific facts and circumstances, which I think is the right outcome, given IS2 doesn't really contain any detailed guidance on this matter. So I do think the agenda decision as currently drafted would be appropriate. And so I would be comfortable to support it also as it's currently drafted. So really just a reflection on, you know, slight possible wording suggestions for the committee to consider. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Carsten. Bertrand.
I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion, and agree with really seeing the draft agenda decision as worded. Maybe just to answer Bob's comments, I think effectively I agree with him that the agenda decision won't help to suppress any diversity in practice, but it will surely help reduce diversity in stating explicitly that when assessing the costs to sell that needs to be taken into account for valuing the inventory, an incremental cost approach is not only to consider. A second remark, I totally agree with Carsten's comments on the fact that an entity will need to apply judgment on this issue. And I think that there is not, in this instance, a one-size-fits-all. And then I think the agenda decision as worded would fit to the specificities of each entity and let them applying their judgment to their business, to their practices. So in this regard, I totally agree with the agenda decision as worded.
Thank you, Bertrand. Paul?
Yes, thank you, Sue. Our views are, I think, pretty similar to those that Bob expressed. Starting off with the point about incremental cost, and I see the sentence, I think, that Carsten was referring to, which I think would be the last sentence of paragraph 3. But if you look at the sentence before that, it says, this requirement does not allow an entity to limit such costs to only those that are incremental, which seems pretty definitive to me, the way that is worded, that it would preclude use of incremental costs based on the wording of the agenda decision as drafted. And as we read IAS2, there is not anything in there that defines cost to sell. So I think we're a bit unclear as to how one could take the language that's in IAS2 and thereby conclude that incremental cost is absolutely precluded. Further, similar to Bob's comment, I think the basis paragraphs in IAS36 can be read to say that the ISC thought that the use of the term, albeit a different labeling on it, but the use of the term there was similar to that in IS2 and could use that as a basis for concluding incremental costs would be permissible. I also think there's another path to look to the basis in IS36 through IS8, given that IS2 is not prescriptive on defining cost to sell, and one could then argue, I think, that going through the hierarchy of IS8 might take you to those paragraphs in the bases of IS36 to reach an incremental cost conclusion. So while we certainly agree that judgment is necessary to be applied to the particular fact pattern, we don't see how incremental cost could be absolutely precluded given the lack of specificity in IS2.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Renata.
Thank you, Sue. I tend to agree with Bertrand and Paul. I agree with the staff conclusions IAS 2 is clear that entities should not consider only incremental costs. I do not agree with the respondents that alleges that applying it would bring more complexity or increase costs. I believe it's not true from my experience. And also, I'd like to, in order to provide more clarification, I would like to suggest the staff to consider including in the agenda paragraphs mentioning examples what would be considered cost to sales to sell, but including also the expression not limited to, because if we could provide some examples, maybe we could avoid diversity in practice. We would put away considering only incremental costs. We would avoid the diversity. So financials would be more comparable. And I don't think we are expanding the scope of our role, including examples. I agree also with the agenda wording. I don't have changes except for this suggestion. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Melissa. I'm Yang Su.
Okay, thank you, Sue. First of all, I should say I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion. To me, the standard is clear, so that you know the cost necessary to make the sale should not be limited only to the incremental cost. I agree with that, but I do not agree with finalizing the agenda decision. The major reason why I do not agree with finalizing the agenda decision is because we did not define any. May I speak?
Sorry, can everybody make sure they're on mute?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, the reason why I do not agree with finalizing the agenda decision is because we do not define what are the costs that should be additionally added in the computation of net realizable value, I mean the cost necessary to sales. Because of that, I think there will be a lot of diversity, more diversity than now. And that could also confuse the people, especially the information users. What I'm really concerning about is that there's the possibility that the company can include non-cash cost in the computation of NRV, net realizable value. I always thought that net realizable value, its basic nature is cash. Because when NRV computes as the cash that comes into the company from the sales of inventory. But if this agenda decision is finalized, maybe as an extra cost, I mean, cost more than the incremental cost, the company can include some non-cash cost. A good example of that would be the depreciation cost of the delivery truck. Delivery truck is directly related to the sales. So maybe the company wants to include some depreciation cost of the delivery truck into the cost necessary to sales. And if that happens, net realizable value would not represent any cash value at all. It could represent something else. And also maybe some other companies can include some other things. Maybe some other companies do not include any depreciation cost of the delivery truck at all, which means that there could be a lot of diversity. And I think that could confuse the information users also. They will see net realizable value, but they will see all different types of realizable value. And also I think if non-cash cost is included in the cost necessary to sale, then you know there could be some kind of unexpected interaction between the standards. So for example, think about a company that uses, that include you know, the non-cash cost, like the depreciation cost of the delivery truck as a part of the cost necessary to make sales. And let's also assume that impairment occurs, not only to the inventory, but also to the delivery truck. Then the company has to apply two standards. The first one is IAS 2 for the impairment of inventory. The company has also have to apply IAS 36 for the impairment of the delivery truck. Now the company has to decide which standard should the company apply first, 36 first and then 2, or 2 first and then 36. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, what the staff analyzed in the IAS 2 is clear. I have no objections to that. But we have more work to do than just the gender decision. And what I'm trying to say is that maybe we have to provide some guidance, not a very specific guidance or detailed guidance, but at least some kind of high-level guidance, like what we really mean by net realizable value, or what we mean, what we meant by cost necessary to make sales is the cash basis cost, not the other things, or direct cost, not the other things. Without that, this agenda decision, I'm afraid, will cause lots of diversity, lots of confusions in the market, and some unexpected, you know, the interaction between the standards. So, you know, I agree with the step analysis conclusion, but I should say I do not agree with finalizing the agenda decision. I think, as Bob said, standard setting is a better and more appropriate way. Thank you.
Thank you, Yang Su. Lisa.
Thanks, Sue. So I continue to agree with the staff conclusion, and I agree that we should finalize the decision. I do think that IS 2 paragraph 28 is clear that, you know, all costs necessary to make the sale should be included in determining that net realizable value. I appreciate that there is judgment in relation to that, and you know, but we make judgments, decisions all the time in looking at, you know, our products and our industries. But one thing I would highlight, and I did recognize in reading the comment letters, is I did have a bit of concern that in finalizing this decision that it could result in more diversity in practice. And I think that what's important, and it's really the most appropriate timing now, is with the ISB looking for responses to come in on the third agenda consultation, that now is the time that if these respondents feel that additional guidance is needed in order to assess how to actually determine what costs are included, that this would be the time to feed into that. But in relation to the question that was asked in the submission and the analysis that was performed, I think that IS2 has sufficient guidance to determine the accounting treatment there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the bonus ad break for the agenda consultation. I think that there is a project on costs actually listed as one of the potential projects in that document. Thanks. Guy, I think you're next.
Thanks, Sue. I am in a position that I think is similar to the way Bob and Paul were articulating this, and I believe that's similar to my perspective when we debated the tentative agenda decision. I continue to be troubled by the fact that the phrase cost necessary to sell is not further defined in the standard. Yes, we have an objective in paragraph 28, but you know that objective is not so precise, at least in my mind, to be abundantly clear that an incremental cost approach would fail to meet that objective. I could understand a judgment that someone might think it does and would in their judgment go beyond that, but I could understand a judgment to the contrary as well. And I am reading the wording in the agenda decision perhaps differently than some other committee members as being a pretty strong statement about incremental costs, not a statement about, you know, define it how you think it should be defined and then apply your definition. It seems to be more definitive than that, and providing some form of further application guidance on what that phrase means. And paragraph 30 of the staff paper, in respect of calls for more guidance on what the phrase means, we explicitly say, well, we don't think we can provide more guidance because we would be adding to or changing the requirements in IFRS. In IFRS standards, and I do find at least personally, that the last two sentences in the third last paragraph of the TAD seem to be doing exactly what paragraph 30 in the staff paper tells us we should not be doing. And so in light of the there not being a definition of the phrase, I don't think I can read that phrase in conjunction with the objective to say what we're saying in the agenda decision clearly flows from the standard, and that's the only perspective that that would flow from the standard. So I'm continued to be troubled by those two sentences in the agenda decision. I think they're adding to or changing the requirements in the standard.
Thank you, Guy. Brian?
Thank you, Sue, and hello, everyone. Unlike Guy, I support finalisation of this agenda decision, and I generally agree with the staff analysis. For me, the agenda decision is saying something quite specific and probably quite narrow about the idea that incremental is a subset of the costs necessary to make the sale. I think the agenda decision leaves open quite a wide scope for judgment, and a lot of feedback I have had since we had our first discussion has supported the idea that there is diversity in practice and that there would be a continuing need to exercise judgment with this agenda decision to be finalised. If we wanted to say more, I think we would be stepping beyond what we could reasonably say in an agenda decision, and it would have to be a different type of exercise. It would have to be a standard same discussion, as some other people have said. However, I do think it's clear that incremental is a subset of the costs necessary to make the sale, so I would support finalising the agenda decision. I have two suggestions. As I said last time, I think it would be helpful for us to say what we mean by incremental. Now, people will have to use their judgments to apply this agenda decision, but their judgment shouldn't have to be around second-guessing what we meant by incremental when we had this discussion. I think the first agenda paper referenced the way incremental is used in IFRS 15, and I would like to see those words in the agenda decision. I appreciate the staff's concern that that could be seen as an interpretation of IAS 36. I actually think appropriately worded, we would just be clarifying what we meant by incremental in the purposes of this discussion and moving away from the risk of appearing to interpret 36. And if we made that change, then my second point, which is a less important point, on page 14 of the agenda paper, item 4B in the table, there's a wording suggestion from EY. I think if we have the upfront description of what we mean by incremental, then I actually quite like EY's wording in 4B. I don't think it would particularly change the meaning. It's just a nice drafting and I like the drafting. So I have two drafting points, but overall I support the analysis and support finalising the agenda decision.
Thanks, Brian. Jens?
Thank you, Sue. I'm still supportive of the tentative agenda decision, and I vote for finalizing as it is. I can agree with the wording suggestions of Brian, which Brian just made. And I want to point out that I think that the paper that the staff provided is well balanced and is addressing the concerns raised by the or within the comment letters. I disagree that there is a reference or that you can apply IAS 36 by analogy or direct with a direct link. And I vote for finalizing the agenda decision as it is. And I can agree that there is still judgment with regard to net realizable value, but it's not only judgment in the costs necessary to make the sale. So this is only one piece of net realizable value. And therefore, I do think that this judgment is within IS2, and I think we as committee should not remove this judgment, and I don't see any reason why we should remove this judgment. So personally, I agree with the staff paper, and I still agree that we should finalize the agenda decision as drafted.
Thanks, Jens. Sophie? lost Sophie. One more try, Sophie. Okay, I'll come back to her. Goro?
Thank you, Sue. I support the staff's analysis and conclusions to finalize the agenda decision with no change. While I feel some sympathy for those respondents who do not agree with the conclusion or agenda decision because of some past consideration. Quite costly for companies to make amendments in their current practice. But I have recognized there are some jurisdictions where the contradicting practice against our view is prevailing. But the and there are no diversity in that particular region. But in these countries, the change in practice and the system could be costly. That said, that the, as mentioned in the paragraph 25 of this paper, those entities are entitled to sufficient time to implement these changes. Particular jurisdictions, that does not mean there is no diversity in practice globally. From a user's point of view, the benefit from the consistent global application of the standards would justify the cost incurred by some entities in the, some jurisdictions. Also, I support the possible standard setting, but those who are concerning this agenda, concerned about this agenda decision, can raise their voice to add their this agenda to ISB's one plan in the agenda during the agenda consultation. If they continue to believe this agenda decision failed to lead a consistent application, but rather the confusion. So I support that the staff analysis.
Thank you, Goro. You cut out a little bit, but I think we got most of it. Bertrand, you wanted to come back in?
Yeah, just to a quick response to Paul and to Guy, I think the paragraph stating that the requirement does not allow an entity to limit such costs to only those that are incremental is for the my understanding of the wording of the agenda decision is to assess whether is for the assessments of the cost necessary to make the sale in the net realizable value. So there we are stating very clearly that you, when doing this assessment, you cannot limit the costs to just incremental costs. But I think the agenda is not excluding the potentiality or the possibility that those costs necessary to make the sale would be equal to incremental cost in some circumstances. And this is the way the concluding paragraph is worded, at least my understanding, by stating the IFRS standards provide an adequate basis for an entity to determine whether the estimated cost necessary to make the sale are limited to incremental costs. And it's not stated whether the estimated cost necessary to make the sales are not limited to incremental costs. So in this, I would say that the conclusion of the agenda decision is not excluding the possibility that in some circumstances, the cost necessary to make the sale may be equal to incremental costs in certain situations. Even though in doing the assessment, you cannot just consider the incremental costs only.
Okay, thank you, Bertrand. So Sophie, I'm going to come to you in a second, but Guy, did you want to respond specifically to Bertrand?
Yeah, yes, I would. Thanks, Sue. At the risk of repeating myself, I think my concern here is we seem to be saying what the phrase is not, but we're not saying what the phrase is. And we very clearly say we can't say what the phrase is because that would be adding to or changing the requirements in IFRS. We explicitly say that in paragraph 30 of the paper. So by saying, shouldn't limit it to incremental costs, we are saying in some respects what the phrase is, yet we're not able to say completely what that phrase is. So I'm failing to understand how the agenda decision can rule out one particular point in a spectrum of points, but at the same time be clear that we can't say anything more about any other points in that spectrum of points. So, to me, we either accept that we don't have a complete definition of that phrase and its application is open to judgment, or we don't and we define the phrase. I don't know how we say what the phrase is not, but we can't say what the phrase is. So to me, by saying something about what the phrase is not, we're doing exactly what we say in paragraph 30 of the paper we should not be doing. If people want to read those paragraphs in the agenda decision to say, well, it is not saying you can't limit it to incremental costs, then I'm not even sure what the point is of including those sentences in the agenda decision.
Guy, can I ask you, with the wording that's set out on page 14, which came from EY, their suggested tweaking and wording in 4B help you at all?
I think it depends on your perspective. Like, I think the staff read that sentence to say, you still can't limit it to incremental costs. To me, by saying anything about this, I think we run the risk of the sentence being read as adding to or changing the requirements in IFRSs. I think some people would read that sentence to mean exactly what the two sentences in the TAD are currently saying. Others perhaps won't. But I think by saying anything about this, we seem to be providing some form of application guidance that is not in the standard, and that's my concern. So I personally am not convinced that switching to those words, would fundamentally solve my root concern with this agenda decision.
Okay, thank you, Sophie.
Yes, so I agree with the staff analysis and with the finalization of the agenda decision as initially published, without any change. And I still agree with the view that paragraph 7 of IS 8 applies and not paragraph 11 of IS 8, as IS 2 includes requirements that specifically apply to the measurement of inventories. I also believe that the interpretation of the basis of conclusion of IS 36 made by some respondents are not appropriate, and I agree with the staff readings of this basis of conclusion. And so I don't see any new technical argument in the response to the TAD that could lead to a change to the tentative agenda decision. So no change for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Sophie. Jim?
I agree with the staff analysis and the conclusion. And even though I feel the concerns that other mentioned here, that the existing wordings or the meaning may not be so clear or clear enough, or the consistency between the existing standards may not be so strong. But I think the current conclusion is the best we could get, knowing that costing issues has been out there for years or even decades. And we just, I don't think we can just list out all these possibilities, which one, which line item is or should be included or should not. Just for this particular case, incremental or not, we should, we may consider shipping and handling or overhead charges or particular tensions to these items. All these possibilities, we just cannot list them all out. And I don't think even the board could readdress this single words or this wordings and saying that that's the only way. And in practice, suggestions and judgments, estimates are very common. I don't think having those out there in practice will necessarily give us difference in practice. I think that's just the nature of the business. That's the result of different circumstances and the different fact patterns. We should live with the tiny differences in estimates, in judgments, and without calling it a differences in standards or standard practices. So I say that if hopefully the board could do something about it and to change all the wordings across the board and all these related topics and concerns about costs. But I really doubt about that. But before that, I think leaving these minor or just reasonable judgments, estimates, suggestions out there is a very practical way to work it through the principle-based practice. Otherwise, we'll just keep talking and trying very hard to list all these possibilities, but we'll never, ever have a kind of a clear-cut definition or a full list of costing line items. So I say, yeah, I share some of our concerns, but the current wording is the best we could get without even hearing. Maybe later someone will figure out better ways. But I say go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. John, you're next, I think.
Yes, thanks, Sue. So I share a lot of the concerns that have been raised and I think well articulated by Guy and along with others that I'm struggling honestly when I read this the agenda decision and I read the feedback to see the benefit of going forward with the agenda decision, because it seems to me that we are as Guy said, eliminating one aspect but without addressing or providing clarity about what is included then in the definition of net realizable value. And I guess I'm concerned that we see diversity in practice. We're hearing about diversity in practice in the feedback. I agree with Jim's comments that I think to go through and develop a list would be an exhaustive process that I don't know would actually necessarily help. But on the other hand, as I listen to the comments from others and that are supportive of going ahead with the agenda decision and the descriptions of what types of costs might one include or consider when defining NRV, to me, many of the items described are actually direct reductions in the proceeds you would expect to receive for the inventory, or direct costs associated with the sale of the inventory. So I'm struggling to understand now exactly what costs would be included, and I find myself actually being a little bit more confused as I listen to the discussion. And I think that as a preparer, that does give me concerns that we may actually be amplifying or increasing diversity in practice with the agenda decision rather than reducing. So on balance, that tells me that to go ahead with the agenda decision as planned would not be appropriate, and that this should be a standard setting activity.
Okay, thank you, John. Young Soo, and then I think maybe we can vote. Young Soo?
Hey, thank you. You know, I wanna point out a couple of things. The first thing is that we are changing the accounting practice with this agenda decision that did not have much serious problem for a very, very long time. And with this agenda decision, I want to say that we are making, I mean, creating more diversity than reducing the diversity, and rather than producing the consistent application, we are producing less consistent application. And I also want to say that this agenda decision has a risk of creating new diversity that didn't exist before, because we say the company has to include more than the incremental cost. So as I said, what needs to reduce the diversity or the risk is to provide some kind of high-level guidance. And that is not the committee's work. That is, I think, board work. And that is why I said agenda decision would not be appropriate. It says center setting is more appropriate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So certainly some strongly held views. With that, can I get a show of hands from the committee members, and then I'll ask separately on the phones, who supports moving forward to finalise the agenda decision, and then I'll see if there's any drafting comments we want to pick up on. So firstly, can I get a show of hands on the screen of who supports finalising the agenda decision?
Can I just check, Donna, you're not voting for, is that correct?
That's correct. I'm not voting for. Not voting for.
Renato, okay, were you voting for? Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it's easier to sum up the against. So Donnie is not voting for, John is not for, Bob is not for, and Guy is not for, and everyone else is voting for.
Okay. And then on the phone, Brian.
I support finalising the agenda.
Thank you. And Sophie?
Yes, you said yes. I am on the screen. I don't see you.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you. That's nine then.
Okay, thank you. All right. So, and did we hear any drafting suggestions that we wanted to pick up, Petrina, or to get the committee to discuss?
I'll mention the drafting suggestions I heard and give you, I suppose, my initial thoughts just for you then to comment on. I think we had a suggestion from Brian about adding sort of a definition of incremental, and I think Brian's suggestion was to do something along the lines of IFRS 15. At least from a staff perspective, we explain in the paper why we wouldn't want to do that. And if it's helpful to me, I do think the agenda decision says something about incremental. It mentions incremental to a particular seal, and to me that is saying enough to understand the agenda decision without going too far. But that was the suggestion, but at least I wouldn't recommend going there. I think we had a suggestion from Renata that it might be helpful to add some examples, and I think Renata, you were trying to do it in a way that wouldn't push beyond IAS 2 by maybe suggesting including some examples of what the cost might not be limited to. Again, I suppose that came up in commentary, and I suppose from our perspective, I just think this discussion of today is otherwise. I do think if we for all good reasons want to be helpful and start to add examples, it probably could raise more questions and could be unhelpful. So I wouldn't suggest going there. And then there was, I think, a less strongly held suggestion of possibly using the wording suggested by EY on page 14 of the paper under 4B. We explained at the time that that change, by the way, I think we could make if committee members preferred it, because certainly from our perspective, we thought it didn't change the overall message. But if people thought that improved the clarity, then we could make it. But maybe as a starting point, Sue, you decide, but maybe you vote on as it is, and then if committee members wanted to go to that wording, we could vote on that afterwards.
Yeah, sure. So firstly, before I ask whether we can vote on the words as they are, John, didn't you wanted to add something on the draft?
Yeah, Petrina, it's actually the point that Petrina was just talking about on page 14, the wording proposed by EY, that whilst I did not support the agenda going ahead with agenda decision, I do find that wording is helpful. so it somehow lessens my angst with the agenda decision. So as feedback, I think it would be helpful to consider that wording change.
Okay, I might firstly take a vote on the agenda decision as drafted in the appendix unchanged, and see whether people support the wording unadjusted. Can I get a show of hands, please?
One, two, three, four, five. I'm seeing five hands on screen. One, I see Youngso is also one, two, three, four, five, six hands on screen. And Donna, seven hands on screen.
Okay. Lisa, are you okay with the words unadjusted?
I'm actually looking at it, and I'm thinking that what is proposed in the adjusted sounds is more clearer to me.
Okay, so you wouldn't vote for that. Okay, so Brian,
I'm fine with the current wording. I like the UI wording, but my vote for the agenda decision wasn't contingent on making that change.
All right, thank you. Sophie, are you okay with the wording as in the paper?
It's okay for me. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So we've got enough votes for that, Petrina, I think?
Yeah, so that's nine votes again for the wording as is.
Okay, thank you. All right, okay. That felt like quite a tough warm-up. So now, thank you for that, and thank you, Stefano, for that.